CD 2.
There was a row of alarm clocks on the table by Jeremy's bed. He did not need them, because he woke up when he wanted to. They were there for testing. He set them for 7 and woke up at 6:59 to check that they went off on time. Tonight he went to bed early, with a drink of water and the Grimm fairy tales. He had never been interested in stories at any age, and had never quite understood the basic concept. He'd never read a work of fiction all the way through. He did remember, as a small boy, being really annoyed at the depiction of Hickory Dickory Dock in a rag book of nursery rhymes because the clock in the drawing was completely wrong for the period. He tried to read Grimm fairy tales. They had titles like How the Wicked Queen Danced in Red Hot Shoes and The Old Lady in the Oven. There was simply no mention of clocks of any sort in any of them. Their authors seemed to have a thing about not mentioning clocks. The glass clock of Bart Schuschein, on the other hand, did have a clock, of a sort. And it was odd. A wicked man, readers could see he was wicked, because it said he was wicked, right there on the page, built a clock of glass, in which he captured time herself. But things went wrong because there was one part of the clock, a spring, that he couldn't make out of glass, and it broke under the strain. Time was set free, and the man aged 10,000 years in a second and crumpled to dust, and, not surprisingly in Jeremy's opinion, was never seen again. The story ended with a moral. Large enterprises depend upon small details. Jeremy couldn't see why it couldn't just as well have been "It's wrong to trap non-existent women in clocks," or "It would have worked with a glass spring." But even to Jeremy's inexperienced eye, there was something wrong with the whole story. It read as though the writer was trying to make sense of something he'd seen or been told and had misunderstood. And, ha! Although it was set hundreds of years ago, when even in Überwald there were only natural cuckoo clocks, the artist had drawn a long-case clock of the sort that wasn't around even 15 years ago. The stupidity of some people. You'd laugh if it wasn't so tragic. He put the book aside and spent the rest of the evening doing a little design work for the guild. They paid him handsomely for this, providing he promised never to turn up in person. Then he put the work on the bedside table by the clocks. He blew out the candle. He went to sleep. He dreamed. The glass clock ticked. It stood in the middle of the workshop's wooden floor, giving off a silvery light. Jeremy walked around it, or perhaps it spun gently around him. It was taller than a man. Within the transparent case, red and blue lights twinkled like stars. The air smelled of acid. Now his point of view dived into the thing, the crystalline thing, plunging down through the layers of glass and quartz. They rose past him, their smoothness becoming walls hundreds of miles high, and still he fell between slabs that were becoming rough, grainy, full of holes. The blue and red light was here too, pouring past him, and only now was there sound. It came from the darkness ahead, a slow beat that was ridiculously familiar, a heartbeat magnified a million times. Chum, chum. Each beat slower than mountains and bigger than worlds, dark and blood red. He heard a few beats, and then his fall slowed, stopped, and he began to soar back up through the sleeting light until a brightness ahead became a room. He had to remember all this. It was all so clear once you saw it, so simple, so easy. He could see every part, how they interlocked, how they were made. And now it began to fade. Of course, it was only a dream. He told himself that and was comforted by it. But he had gone to some lengths with this one. He had